to the most important, the most important aspect of a person's of human existence, and that is the area of human ambition. That's really what the Sefer is about. Ma'yisulala b'cholamalo means man has ambition. He has energy that's driven into this area of ambition. And the question that's gamas olam nasan b'libam, and the question is how does a person deal with it? It's not something which is a simple matter. You if you just try to sidestep it, you see, then you're going to be facing a state of mind in which there's great unsatisfaction. And that's really what the Sefer is trying to resolve. Now what Chazal is saying is that if there were no resolution, they would have put the Sefer away. Which means to say, it could be there's no resolution. If you're an honest investigator, so you have to entertain all possibilities. There's no solution to the problem. Man is driven by ambition. His energies have to be channeled into his ambitious drives. It's all futile. It's illusionary. And he's stuck. He can't do anything. He can't stop the flow of the energy. A person is not in a position to just say stop. That's it. It's wrong. It's crazy. What's the alternative? What are you supposed to do? And the energy has to go somewhere. He has to live. He has to continue. So that's what Chazal say, because that's why they kept the Sefer, because of two reasons. First of all, the Sefer is not trying to determine what the correct channeling of energy is, and that's already been established by the Torah. And secondly, but it recognizes that there is a problem there with human ambition, and also that it came to a good conclusion. There is a conclusion. That's the self-dover. If there were no conclusion, they would have simply put it away. Because if, for instance, there were no answer, and the only answer is that either you can attain perfection through the method of the essential method of the Torah, and if you can't, insofar as you can't, it's not possible. So that's it. So that's our fate. If that would have been the conclusion, then they would have put the Sefer away. It's not a Sefer for Kisvei Kaddish. That doesn't qualify for Kisvei Kaddish, because it doesn't get a person anywhere. It's a nice analysis, but there's no reason to be part of Kisvei Kaddish. So that's what Chazal meant when they said the beginning is Divrei Torah and the end is Divrei Torah. They didn't mean simply that any book that has a good beginning, good end, no matter what's in the middle, we accept. That's nonsensical. But they're saying that the two pivotal points of the Sefer are why it was included. First of all, it's not discussing what is the correct way and what is the correct Derech HaChaim and it's not questioning the method of the Torah. It's an analysis of a serious problem, and there is a solution. That's what Chazal means. But the question was raised last week that how is it possible that there should be no solution? The answer is it's possible. It's possible because, first of all, the human mind, there might be a solution, and the human mind might not be capable of arriving at it. Doesn't mean that you don't investigate the area. That's number one. And two, there are many problems that we don't have solutions for. We don't know. We simply say, that's it. I mean, God created man, and he gave him a method, and that's it. There's nothing more we can do. And you see, for instance, the investigation of the psychological is not the same thing as the investigation of the philosophical. And the proof is something we took up a long time ago. And Danny Wolf reminded me of it. It's the Rambam, where he says that you should go in the Derech HaMtzoi, the middle road. So he says, V'zui Derech HaChachamim. Okay? And then in the next halacha, that's in Paragraph of Halacha Dal, in the end of Halacha Dal. The Derech HaChachamim is the middle road. But Halacha Hei, Yumishu Medaktek Alasma B'yoser, V'yisrachek Midei Abeinis Ma'ad, Ma'at L'tzad Zeh, O L'tzad Zeh, Nekro Chosid. Okay? Ketzad, Mishi Yisrachek Migoval Lev, Arakotza Achron, V'yishofor Ruch B'yoser, Nekro Chosid. But the Ram just said before that's not good. That psychologically, that's not a good state. But the answer is that not always is that which is the best thing for the psyche the same as that which is the best thing for human perfection. Sometimes a person has to tolerate unsatisfaction in the area of the psyche in order to attain perfection. So the two sciences don't coincide necessarily. They're two separate realms. Okay, a person, there's one realm is the realm of the life of the soul, and the life of the soul needs a certain kind of a derech hachayim. It doesn't necessarily mean that that is not at the expense of the psyche. It could be a worthwhile exchange. In other words, you may have to lose a little over here, but to gain in another area, in a more important area. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says nikra chassid. He forfeits a certain psychological perfection, but he trades it in. He exchanges it for a higher kind of perfection, the perfection of the soul. So the kahelis is strictly the psychological. But the question, of course, is the main question is, how is it possible that this most the two methods that a person must use in order to have the correct derech hachayim is, one is the method which was given to us in the Torah, Voyot Var Ma'ela, the Shivcha Veisach, Olachcha Laderech, Voyisayim Avakar V'Kolim Echayav, that method. And then the other method is the method of Kehelas of Ma'i Yisrael Adam, B'chol Amol, Shiyam Al Tachas Hashemesh, the psychological analysis. So these two methods are different approaches. The one approach was given in the Torah, the second approach was given by Shlomo Melech. So the question is, why isn't that part of the Torah itself, if it's so important, if it's true, if it's knowledge, if it's so important, why wasn't it given at Sinai? They say it's unimportant, and then you're telling me that the words of Shlomo Melech is a chacham mikol adam is just to just discard them. So what do we have to say for altogether? You see, but the answer to this is that our system is based on the on yesodos, yesodei Torah, and the yesodei Torah are not things that we have a right to determine the way they are. I mean, they're certain. It's based on certain metaphysical realities, and these metaphysical realities are given by the Rambam in the Yesodei HaTorah. One of the Yesodei HaTorah, the last one, the Yesodei Ados Leida Shakel Menabeis Bnei Adam. So that's the Yesodei in the Ados that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nevuah to man, and then the Rambam goes on. Vayna, it's Perek Shvi. The Ram says, who is the one that receives Nevuah? So he says, Lo Yitzum is Gaber Olav, the Dava Ba'olam, but he's Misgaber Dait Al Yitzra, Tomid, Vu Baldei Rochova, Nachonad Ma'od. And then he goes, in Halacha Aleph, he describes the person. Then Halacha Beis, he says, Hanavim Milos Milosain. That there are different levels of Nevi'im. K'mosh yesh b'chochma, chochom gadol mechavero, kach b'nevua, navi gadol minavi. So it's not the same level of Nevu'ah, isn't just one kind of a uniform phenomenon. But there are different grades, different levels of Nevu'ah. That's in Halacha Beis. And then Halacha Gimel says, advarim shemodim navi b'mari ha'nevu'ah derech moshel modim lo. Okay, so he tells you how the Navi receives the Nevuah, how it works. It works derech mashal. And then he says in Halacha Beis, going back to Halacha Beis again, v'kulam ein ram mara Nevuah ela b'chalom b'chazayin laila o b'yom achet shetipalem tadema. He goes through all the properties of Nevuah, okay? And he says, and it's derech mashal, and he understands what it is. Kamalasulam Sharo Yaakov Avinu Malachim Olam VeYordanbo. Okay, then Halacha Dalit, he says Kol Anaviim Amos Nabin B'chol Eish Sheyirtzu, can't always have Nevuah when they want. Ela Mechavnin Daitom VeYoshim Smechim VeTovei Levum is both of them. Okay, so he says the Nevuah only descends upon a person if he's in a certain state. Then he goes on, Lachahei, Elu Shehein, Mevakshim Lisnabe, the ones that want to have Nevuah, Heyman Akroim, B'nei Hanaviim. Okay. He says, Avishem Achavdin Daitom, Efshah Shetishra Shechin Oleim, Efshah Shalot Tishra. Alright, and then in Alachavav, the last Alacha, is where he goes into the whole difference. Between the Nevi'im, Kol Advaran Shemano Heim Derech Nevuah L'Chol Anvi'im Rishon L'Achronim Chutz Mimoshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shel Kol Anvi'im, and then he goes through Ma Hefrish Yesh Bein Nevuas Moshe L'Shor Kol Anvi'im, and he goes through a whole lengthy dissertation on the difference and the uniqueness of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to the Nevuah of the other Nevi'im. Okay. Now what is the Rambam's purpose in all this? The Rambam's purpose in all this is to show that the... Just a second. Yeah. Hello? It's off. All right. The purpose of the Rambam in all this is really to show that our Torah, the Torah that we received, is a result of the metaphysical reality of Nevuah. And our Torah was received through Moshe Rabbeinu, was the Adon Kol HaNeviim, and he was the one, the only one, that had the very special, distinct level of Nevuah, and through that Nevuah we receive the Torah. So it means to say that the receiving of the Torah is only because of the Yesod Shehakel Menabeis Bnei Adam, and that's why we have the Torah. Now the information that we received Derech Nevuah, through Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, is the Torah. Were it not for that metaphysical phenomenon, that Akel Menabeis Bnei Adam, if that were not so, so then we wouldn't have any Torah. So Torah is contingent upon this metaphysical reality. And that's, we're the beneficiaries of this phenomenon, of this Yesod. This is how and why we are able to partake of Torah. So it is not because we need Torah. See, that's the mistake that people make. People think because we need it, so that's why God gave it to us. That's right in a certain remote way. That may be correct. But the way directly, it's not so. It's not exactly right. The reason why we receive Torah is because of the fact that Okel Menabeis Bnei Adam, because of this Yisod. Now, Nevuah is the transference of certain metaphysical knowledge through a certain distinct process. That's really what Nevuah is. What information belongs in that category of Nevuah? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. But not all information belongs in Nevuah just because we need it. That's a mistake. To say that because we need certain information, and certain information is very important to us, and that's why it had to be given at Sinai, that's absolutely false. V'araya, the biggest proof, is medical knowledge. I mean, it's extremely important for a person to have the discovery of antibiotics saved millions of lives. So what can be more important for a person than to have knowledge of antibiotics in order to save his life? I mean, he could be living 1 minute and then gone in a day. So you certainly can't say that that's unimportant. It's extremely important. All right, you can't do anything if the person isn't alive. Nevertheless, that kind of knowledge, that kind of information, is not metaphysical information, and is not in the, not found in the category of Nevoah, and it was never given at Sinai. So just because something is important for us and we would like to have that knowledge does not mean ipso facto that it's given at Sinai. What's given at Sinai is information that qualifies for the unique process of Nevoah. And that is the only thing that we are able to receive through that method of Sinai. No matter how important something is to us, if it's not information that's subject to Nevoah, you see, it wasn't given at Sinai. You see. And that's basically that's the answer. That's the answer. That's really the solution to the question. The question is, if this knowledge of my Yisrael Adam is so important, and it's psychological knowledge, so then how come the Torah didn't include it? The answer is because it's not information that qualifies for the metaphysical process of Nevoah. And that's it. That's why Chazal says Shlomo HaMelech, it's Chachmas Atzma. What does it mean, Chachmas Atzma? It means this kind of information man can only attain through his own groping and investigation and uncovering through the natural process that is available to him because he's a Tzelem Elokim. And because of that, a person who lived before Shlomo HaMelech, unfortunately, he doesn't have that knowledge. But nothing can be done about it. Just because it's important, or a person who doesn't understand Kehelas doesn't have that knowledge. Just because it's extremely important, even in terms of Derech HaChaim, does not make that information that is subject to the process of Nevoah and that comes under the Yisod Shehakel Menabe Es B'nei Adam. Whatever is found in the Torah is knowledge which qualifies in terms of the requirements for what is Nevoah, and therefore it's found in the Torah. But there could be very important information that a person may need for his very survival, for his physical survival, or even for his survival in terms of following the Derech HaChaim of Torah. There could be very important information. It doesn't mean that because it wasn't given at Sinai, it's not important. The fact that it wasn't given at Sinai only shows you one thing, that it does not qualify for Nevoah. It doesn't come under the area of knowledge that is subject to the metaphysical phenomenon of Nevoah. It's a separate type of a thing. And that's really the solution to the problem. That's why Chazal say that Shlomo HaMelech's Chachma was his own Chachma. It means it wasn't the kind of a thing that is much as we need it. See, that the question was important, why do we have it? The answer is important, and having it is not a simple matter. We don't have things because they're important. The things we have are important, but not necessarily everything that is important do we have. The information we have is based on the fact that the Adon HaNaviim received this information at Sinai. And that's a separate realm. The realm of Nevoah. But there could be very important information that a person could need for his Derech HaChaim, and yet it doesn't qualify, and it wasn't received at Sinai, and a person can work it out on his own, and if he does, then he's very fortunate. He's very, very fortunate. and it will help him in the Derech HaChayim of Torah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it was that it qualifies for the phenomenon of Nevuah. That's really the answer. That's really it. Yes. Okay, one thing at a time. Yeah, go ahead. I can't answer. You're asking me to answer what qualifies for Nevuah and what doesn't qualify for Nevuah. I'm not going into that now. I'm not going into that now, and I'm not qualified to answer it. But it doesn't mean that we can't get any insight into it. But that's not really what I'm doing over here. That's a separate area. The only thing that I could tell you is that miyisod hados leida shokel menabes bnei ha'adam is not a simple matter. It's a whole realm of metaphysical existence, and we can't just determine that we know what this is. It's absurd for us to even think that way. And Moshe Rabbeinu had the greatest knowledge in that area. Okay, but even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Moshe Rabbeinu, without Nevuah, would never understand that either. So these are areas which are metaphysical areas. But a person has a tendency to think that everything that's important to him has to be supplied. And that's not our system. That's really Lahavdil Goyim have that idea. We are subordinate to a certain metaphysical reality. And that reality is that reality ultimately is the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is no simple matter over here. I mean, we can't just determine because we need something. It has to be there. That's like a child. Okay. So while Shlomo HaMelech's works are of the greatest importance, their greatness in terms of their importance for us doesn't necessarily qualify it for Nevuah. It's two separate areas. Two separate areas. That's the basic answer. Now, that also explains Rabbi Yitzchak. The very difficult Rabbi Yitzchak that the Ramban mentions, the Ramban raises the question. I mean, it's a difficult... Rashi just, throws out the Chazal, but it's a very difficult Chazal. Because Rabbi Yitzchak says that the Torah should have started with HaKadosh Zalachan. But the Ramban asks a powerful question. He says, what do you mean? He says, the whole Yisod of Amuna is the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is the only existence, and Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world, everything that we see, this entire universe is only a Nivra. It doesn't have essential existence. And that's Yisrael. And anyone that denies that denies Kala Terakula. So that's Ramban's conscience. So what kind of word would Rabbi Yitzchak says that it's just out of Chayesh Zalachan? Bereishis Bara Elokim. That's what it should say, because that is the whole our whole idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Yisod of Yisodos. There's nothing more fundamental in our dust. So what kind of a kasha is that? Just out of Chayesh Zalachan. The first thing you have to know is what is our idea of God. That's Bereishis Bara Elokim, it's a Shemayim Vesaretz, and that pasuk is the holy Yisod Yisodos. So the Ramban answers. He says that's true, but you could have satisfied that with one pasuk. The pasuk in the Aseret Sedivros was Kisheishis Yamasad Hashem as a Shemayim Vesaretz as a Yom Veskol Shabam Vayanach Vayamashi. Okay, so that's enough. That gives you. That's all you need. He says, why do you have to have the intricate details of Vayev Yomecha, Yom Sheni, and the whole Arichus in the Parshias? What do you need that for? Okay, what do you have to have that for? You don't need that. Okay, but the question we asked was, it still doesn't answer the question. Because so what do you need it for? So what is Rabbi Yitzchak's answer? So his answer is because the Umos HaOlam will say that you have no right to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we'll say no, Bereishis Bara Elokim es Shamayim ves Haaretz, and therefore he gave it to whomever he saw fit. Okay, so why isn't that enough with Kisheishis Yamasa Hashem es Shamayim ves Haaretz? The Kasha comes back again. So it's again difficult. So how did you answer the question? I mean, with the Ramban goes into a whole Arichas, but when you get finished with the Arichas, the question is still there. So you don't need it. He says this kind of knowledge is only for Yechidim, Fine, so he's right. So it's only for Yechidim. So it doesn't belong in Torah Shebachsav. So what do you need it for? So the answer is you need it. Why? Because to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael to us. Fine, Kishei Shishyam, why isn't that enough? You see. But the real understanding of Rabbi Yitzchak is, you see, what is Rabbi Yitzchak's question? Rabbi Yitzchak's question is precisely what we are discussing here. His question is that there are areas, and that's what the Ramban is really saying. See, the Ramban says, that whole first Ramban over there, he says there are many things that are given over in Tarsh Bal Peh and in Sisrei Torah, and he says and they're not for everybody. So and Sefer Bereishis in the beginning is definitely not for everybody, because there are Dvarim Stumim, and even a person who understands it fully as the Torah describes it, still only understands the Tipa Shabayam of Maisa Bereishis. So what is Ramban saying with that? See, what is Ramban really saying? Ramban is elaborating on Rabbi Yitzchak. What is he saying? He's saying that Rabbi Yitzchak's point was that Bereishis is not a subject matter for Nevuah. It's not a subject matter for Nevuah in terms of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's really what Rabbi Yitzchak held. Rabbi Yitzchak held that there's, like the Ram says in the end of the Ram says that the in the end of the Perek Shvi, so the Ram says Hanavi Efshe Shetia Nevuaso LaAtzmo Bilvad LaHarchiv Libo LaHosif Daito Ad SheYeda Masha Lo Hoya Yodea MeOsan Advar Magidolim. He says that's one kind of nevuah. That's a personal, private nevuah. The efshir she yeshulach la'am me'am me'ha'oretz o la'an she'ir o mamlocha l'chonin osam o l'hodin ma'yasu o l'mono mi'maisim ha'roim she'biyadeyem. Okay? So nevuah, really, metaphysical nevuah, comes under two headings. One is personal, private, laharchiv daito shaladam. That's an individual phenomenon. That's for a certain person at a certain time. But then there's another kind of nevuah, which is given in order that people should. The objective of that nevuah is that people should establish the correct way of life. You see, Rabbi Yitzchak's question is that the nevuah satorah comes under the second category. And the Nevuah Satorah comes under the second category of Nevuah. It's in order to establish. That's the purpose of this Nevuah. That's this category of Nevuah. So Rabbi Yitzchak's question is that the Bereishis Bara, you see, is doesn't fit in to that kind of a metaphysical phenomenon of Nevuah. Because it's something which is very abstract, and which is very difficult, and which most people don't even have the intellectual ability to comprehend, and even those who do only comprehend the Tipa Shebayam. So the whole thing it doesn't belong here. That's really Rabbi Yitzchak's kasha. Rabbi Yitzchak's kasha is there are two tracks of Nevuah. One track is the Yarchiv Daito La'atzmo for the great Chacham, and the other track is in order to establish something. That we know that is information that is information that is subject to the process of Nevuah according to God's will. So Torah really comes under the second type of Nevuah. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's kasha. His question is that Bereishis Bara does not fit in to the Torah itself. HaChodesh is Olachem. That mitzvahs fit in. Mitzvahs essentially is the vehicle that we receive through Nevuah, whose purpose is to establish the correct Derech HaChayim on this earth. So that's what the Ramban is explaining. That is his question. That was Rabbi Yitzchak's question. That Bereishis Bara doesn't belong here. This is a different kind of a thing. Yes, it's the deepest metaphysics. Different kind of thing. Nevuah, yeah, nevuah for a yachid, or it should be included in Sisrei Torah. It's a different kind of a nevuah. But in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it doesn't belong there, because the nature of that nevuah is based upon the other kind of nevuah, which is nevuah kel menabes bnei ha'adam, in order to establish the lishma derech Hashem, vasos sedaka mishpat. So that's the kind of nevuah it is. So that's really Rabbi Yitzchak's question. You see, Ramban brings out his question, but the Ramban never returns. Somehow or other, he leaves it in the haze. I mean, that's good. It's a good question. So what is the answer? You see, so what is the answer? So what is, somehow the Ramban doesn't. He explains the question. If you look at what he says, he explains the question and brings it out very nicely, very beautifully, and it's basically what we're saying with regard to the problem of Kehelas. That Yesod is the Yesod of the Ramban, and that's really the Yesod of the Rabbi Yitzchak. But he doesn't somehow or other. He leaves it over there. He leaves it trailing. He doesn't come back to it. Yeah, so why isn't Kisheshes Yom enough? You see, I believe the answer is like this. What Rabbi Yitzchak was saying is that it is true that the objective of Nevuas Moshe in Toras Moshe is the objective of establishing Vatam Tili Mamlechas Kanav Agad Kaddish, establishing Klal Yisrael. Part of that, a component, and a very significant component of that system, is Eretz Yisrael. That's clear. Kol HaTorah Kula. That's called Kol HaTorah Kula. That Eretz Yisrael is a most significant component of the system. Okay? And that's the Brisbane Absorim, and that's everything, Mars and Machpelah, and the Brisbane Absorim, and Loretz Hashem Ishbati, and the Gaalti, the whole Geula, Veivesi Eschem al Loretz. I mean, that's manifest in the entire Torah, that Eretz Yisrael itself is something which is indispensable for the entire system of Torah to exist. So what Rabbi Yitzchak was saying was that the reason why the Torah expanded on Bereishis and expanded on Bereishis was to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares his knowledge, metaphysical knowledge, with this Ummah. And because he shares his metaphysical knowledge with this Ummah, because he allows them to enter into the realm of Maisa Bereshis, and because he encourages them and their Chachomim to gain knowledge of this area, that's why they're Zocha to Eretz Yisrael. See, that's why there's Zocha to Eretz Yisrael. That's the answer. Just to say Kisheshi Shom Masar Hashem Hashmaim, he created the world and gives it to everyone he wants. Yeah, but that's not a good answer, because say okay, that seems Kadosh Baruch Hu is Osa Zdakom Mishpat, Melech Zdakom Mishpat. So they'll say that's not Mishpat. That's not Mishpat. So why should they be special? So it doesn't really answer the question. But the real answer to the question is that who deserves the land? Why is this land given? This land is not given for people's personal enjoyment and pleasures, as other countries are. Other countries are in order that the people should be able to live. So they need a physical sustenance. But this land was given is a very unique kind of a matana. The nature of the matana is in order that man should be involved in metaphysical knowledge. You see? And that's why the Torah expanded on Bereishis to show the Umos Olam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very special purpose in sharing his knowledge with these people and expanding on his whole creation, and because of that they are Zocha, because that places them in a different realm, a different type of existence. And that's why those individuals whom he shares that knowledge with, and who have a totally different kind, they have a metaphysical, they partake of metaphysical existence, he gave this land specifically for them. That is just. See, that is just. It's a different kind of a thing. If it was simply a matter of the fact that there are many, many, many umos, and everyone has to have their land, okay, fine, so let everybody fight for the land, that's it. Why should Jews be guaranteed this land over here through Nisim and taking it away from other people that were there before? You see, it's a good question. But the answer is that this matana, this nesina, is a different kind of nesina. It's based on different type of a person. It's based on people with whom God shares a very special kind of knowledge, metaphysical knowledge. And that's why he gave those individuals need a place, and that's why that takes primacy over other considerations, because that's the essence of the whole existence. You see, that's Rabbi Yitzchak's answer. The answer of Rabbi Yitzchak is a different kind of an answer. If it were a matter of just having countries where people have to survive, then you're right. So why should we be different? It's not fair. It's not mishpat. Let everybody fight for their own land. That's it. But since the essence of everything is metaphysical knowledge, and there is one nation with whom, if you take a look at Sefer Bereishis, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares and tries to encourage man to enter into the realm of understanding and knowledge in terms of his Maisa Bereishis, in terms of his Chochman, so far as man is capable, that means this nation exists in a totally different way. And for such a people who are engaged in this kind of a life and in this kind of an existence, that, God says, it's just that they should have a place, a secure place, that they should be able to exist. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's answer. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak shows that while this kind of information would never enter into Chamisha Chumshi Torah based upon its nature itself, because it really is a different kind of a subject matter, it doesn't belong here, it's a different kind of a nevuah for a yachid, but it had to be there in order to demonstrate to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech oev stako mishpat, and the fact that he gave Eretz Yisrael to us is not a violation of justice, but it's based upon a very special kind of existence that he insists on, and that he gave us the opportunity to engage in. And people that live on that kind of a level, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they deserve not to have to struggle in order to find a place on the globe. You see, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpat. But that would never be manifest if it weren't for the fact that you see in Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu elaborated on the Maisa Bereishis. Just kishesh yamos Hashem Shemayim v'Saaretz. So fine, of course he can do whatever he wants, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does has to be just. It has to be just. So therefore it wouldn't be just if it was simply on a physical plane. But it shows you that the reason why we are entitled to Eretz Yisrael is only because we're a nation that is engaged not just simply in doing mitzvahs, but in understanding and attaining knowledge of the highest sort, knowledge of the creation itself, knowledge of Maisa Bereishis itself, is really the objective of this, of Klal Yisrael. That's a special kind, that places us in a special realm of existence. And that realm of existence, we're entitled to the land.
but then only that knowledge only available to individuals. So, mm-hmm. In other words, he's saying that what makes us zocha to it is the fact that we can receive this knowledge, but that knowledge is only attainable by individuals.
That's a good question. Good question. Yeah, the answer, it's true, you see. It is true that the knowledge is only attainable... to certain individuals. But the fact is that the whole life of the kohol revolves around those individuals. Those individuals who have the knowledge, it's true that they're the only ones that can have the direct knowledge. But their influence, that knowledge is something which creates a sphere of influence that affects the entire Ummah. That's the whole. One Moshe Rabbeinu saved that was his whole tefillah, Hodin Nos Rechecha, and through this knowledge, Re'am Chagayazeh. If I can attain this knowledge, then the people will be able to exist. And if I can't attain this knowledge, then they won't be able to exist. So that's why he had a mispalad to attain this knowledge. The answer is, it may be one yachid, but that yachid creates a sphere of influence that affects the entire Ummah. And that's why in our dus everything revolves around Chachmei Yisrael. I mean that's the whole existence of the call. It is contingent upon the Chachamim. I mean that's the whole Masor. Moshe Kibul Torah Misinei Masor LeYeshuli LeShulas Kainim LeKainim Avim Anshik Nesak Dola. That's the whole core of the nation. The core of the nation is the Chachamim. And the Chachamim are the ones that are engaged not just in knowledge of halacha and mitzvahs, but in knowledge of Maisa Bereishis. And what does Chazal say? That's the highest level of Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava. So that kind of knowledge is the knowledge. I mean, that's what the Rambam says. Manakash Bakhta Marsha Benu in the Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Alpanecho. Ani Ava Kol Tuvi Alpanecho the Karasi Bishem at Hashem Lafanecho. So the Ram says, what is Kol Tuvi? What is a strange word? I mean Kol Tuvi, oh my good, what does it mean Tuvi? What does the word mean? So the Ram explains, he says, if you take a careful look at Maisa Bereishis, what do you see? Vayar Hashem Kitov. Vayar Hashem Kitov. Every pasuk. Vayar Hashem is kol asher asa v'hineh tov ma'od. So tov, the idea of kol tuvi means, how did God define tov? God defined tov already in the first parsha of Torah. What is tov? Tov is the existences that God created. That's tov. Vayar Hashem Kitov means that existence is good. The existence that God created is good. So the Rambam says, Ani aver kol tuvi al panecho, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared with Moshe Rabbeinu knowledge of that which is tov, of Maisa Bereishis. Kol tuvi means he showed him insofar as he was capable a full understanding of the whole Maisa Bereishis. So Maisa Bereishis is something which is in the highest realms of knowledge, the understanding of the whole creation and how the Ashgacha works, how the creation works, and the creation itself, and the Hashem Kitov. So it's a very abstract idea. It's a hard thing to grasp, but that's what the Rambam is pointing out in the turn, the very first parsha. Is telling you one thing that the question is that everything that we do in terms of shmiras hamitzvahs, so what does it ultimately lead to? Okay, so we keep all the mitzvahs. If Klai Yisrael, we keep all the mitzvahs. So what happens? Okay, so you have the brachas. All right, so everything is fine. And then what? What is the purpose of everything? What is the purpose? What is the answer? The answer is Vayar Hashem Kitov. That existence is good. And therefore, insofar as a person, that's what the Rav one time said, he said, what is the practical result of the fact of the of the knowledge of the Yesode Hadas? What is the practical result? Yesode Hadas is that insofar as we have the correct idea of God, so we partake of existence as a created being, but we partake of existence. Ultimately, everything, if you keep Kola Tarakula, what happens when, they, for instance, the tefillahs are on Rosh Hashanah? Yeda kol pol tiyata fiyalta kol yatsikata kriyata yitzata v'yomar kol Hashanah Shema v'apad Hashem alakeso melech ha-mochusa v'abakol mashallah. So Malchi Yisra'akadosh Baruch Hu. And what happens when that happens? So what? What is attained by that? The answer is, what is attained by that? Vayah Hashem Kitov. Vayah Hashem is Kol Asher Asa V'hini Tav Mod. That's the objective. So in the revelation of the first Parsha, there's a very unique idea. It's an idea that cannot be perceived on an emotional plane, because the emotions are not interested in this type of thing. But it's an idea that can be perceived by the human mind in an abstract way. Namely, that what the Torah is saying is, what God is saying is, that existence is good. And therefore, if everyone lives in the Derech HaTorah, and Klal Yisrael lives that way, so what is attained? The good of existence. And insofar as you don't live that way, then you don't exist. An individual that's ikaris tikaris. It means an individual that doesn't live according to this way, his existence is like his non-existence. He doesn't exist. But so what's the difference if he exists or he doesn't exist? The answer, the difference is Vayar Hashem Ki Tov. So existence is good. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that idea of why existence is good. What does it mean that existence is good? He understood what that possibly means. And through that metaphysical knowledge, not only was he able to reach the first realm of Nevuah, which is Laharchiv Daito Shel Odom, in order that he should be able to understand areas that he couldn't understand before. So Moshe Rabbeinu received Nevuah, which gave him the greatest insight and the greatest intellectual satisfaction in terms of his knowledge and his understanding, but it also affected the second realm of Nevuah, the existence of the nation, which through his knowledge he was able to create a sphere of influence that affected all of Klal Yisrael. And that's the answer to the question. That's why it's true it's a yachid, it's true it's yachidim. But around these yechidim revolves the whole existence of Klal Yisrael. That's an essence, and it's obvious in the whole system of Torah itself. Okay. Any questions? Yeah.
Ben Zoma,
That's correct.
And it works both ways, that Hamid influenced the nation.
That's correct. That's true. It works both ways. That's true. That the way it works is that the way civilization is, it comes out that the Chachamim do not have to. They're relieved from certain burdens because of the nature of society. That's great. True. But that's our point. Now, getting back to Kehelas, to the ideas in Kehelas, and that's why it's true also, by the way, that if a person would come up with a certain piece of psychological insight, that they that we don't that didn't exist before. Okay, so if you will say it can't be important because it wasn't given in the Torah, that would be incorrect. And the living example of that is Sefer Kehelos. That's Sefer Kehelos. Because it means that it was psychological insight, and a person can come up with psychological insight that's extremely significant, and it is not a refutation of that knowledge. You cannot refute that knowledge with the argument that I don't see it in the Torah. It wasn't given through Masorah. You see? Of course, the knowledge, any knowledge that a human being comes up with, you see, has got to be present in the Torah in a certain way, because since it's truth, and since the Torah spans the whole realm of truth, it will be there, but not in the sense that it was given over like as a capsule at Sinai, and therefore there is nothing more to discover in terms of human psychology that I don't find openly in a Maimon Chazal. Or something that was received directly through Masorah. That is not a valid argument. It's not a valid argument, just like it's not a valid argument to say that anything in medicine that saves people's lives can't be the correct way, because otherwise we would have it at Sinai. Or to try to find in some Chazal some type of medication that you'll say that they had it too. This is not an approach, and it's not an approach of Chochmah. It's not true, because what we received at Sinai is contingent on very special qualifications, and those qualifications are tied in deeply in the Yesod of Nevuah, and the Yesod of Nevuah, and the Yesod and Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a separate department. The two are not identical. So therefore, if a person will come up with an insight in psychology, you cannot say that it's not true because it wasn't. I don't have any Masorah on that, and it's not found in Masorah from Mamore Chazal. That's not a valid argument, just like it's not a valid argument in medicine, you see, because the knowledge that we received is based not because we want it and need it. Yeah, we want and we need a lot of things, but we have to subordinate ourselves to the system of the Yesod Yadas, and that is not in conformity with our desires. It's based on a separate kind of a system. So a piece of knowledge that man arrives at cannot be refuted because you will say it's not in Sinai. Or to use a common method, which is any time you find a piece of knowledge that you know is true, to say that I know it from Sinai, it's not an argument. It's not an argument, and the person who does that is making a mistake in thinking that they know exactly what information should be transferred through Nevuah and what information should not be transferred through Nevuah. And no one has that kind of knowledge. So the argument is fallacious. And on the contrary, you see that that's exactly what Sefer Kehelos is about. Sefer Kehelos is a sefer of Chochmas Atzmo. Chazal say Chochmas Atzmo. It was Chochmah Shlomo himself. He himself worked out this Chochmah. And is it valid? Extremely valid. Is it important? Very important. But is it information that is that qualifies for Nevuah? No. If it were, then we have it. Then we'd be given. Then it'd be given. And that's a Yitzchak as well. That's a Yitzchak. Is Bereishis Bar is the elaboration of the Sefer Bereishis? Is that important information? Is anybody would say it's not important? Nobody would say it's not important. But Rabbi Yitzchak said it shouldn't be there. Why? Because Rabbi Yitzchak was defining the nature of the subject matter of Nevuah, the category of Nevuah, which is the category of Nevuah for Chamisha Chum Shetorah, and he said that category doesn't belong there. See, it doesn't belong there. So not everything that is important, you see, is at Sinai. Sinai is a very specific form of metaphysical knowledge that was conveyed through Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. And what the requirements are for that kind of information is a metaphysical phenomenon. It's not a phenomenon that's based upon whether we need it or not. You see? Okay.
In what sense is it there?
Excuse me?
You mentioned that since it's an expansive system, so it is there in a sense. In what sort of sense is that?
It's there in a sense that the conclusions, any knowledge that is true knowledge, that a person attains through his own wisdom and through his own Tzelem HaLakim, through exercising his Tzelem HaLakim, has got to be in conformity with the Torah itself. Has got to be in conformity, and it has to be there because let's say you make a discovery about the nature of man. So since the Torah was given to man, it will never violate that. It will never violate his nature. And if you understand it, you'll see how it fits in exactly, and you'll gain greater insight into it. You'll gain greater insight into the Torah itself, into the ideas of the Torah. You will gain greater insight through this knowledge. But it does not. That's not the same thing as saying that this piece of knowledge was handed down and directly and given, transmitted directly. It's a totally different idea. It's a completely different idea. I think if you understand this idea, and basically it's a chazal, I don't see how anyone can deny it. It's a whole Sefer Kehelas. But if you understand this idea, you'll have a deeper understanding of Yahadus, and you'll see why certain questions that puzzle certain people, and they try to answer it a lot of times with some crazy methods, you'll see why it's not, there's no necessity for that. There's no necessity for it because it stems from not understanding what Torah is, what we mean by Torah. Torah is not just simply something that's there for our satisfaction. Yeah, in a way, yes. In a way, of course, it's the most satisfying, it's the most gratifying, it's the only existence, it's everything. But that's not the same thing as saying that everything that I need, I'm going to find there. That's Kadosh Baruch Hu's, that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. Certain information is subject to the metaphysical process. Other information man can discover through his Tzelem HaLakim, but it does not mean that if he discovers something important through his Tzelem HaLakim that you could refute it because it's not there, it's not found there, or you have to search and try to say that it was always there. That's not necessary. Okay.
It turns out that this type of knowledge could not have been transmitted to him.
Exactly. Could not have been transmitted because it doesn't have the characteristics that qualify for that kind of a transmission. That's the answer.
It had to come through Chachmas Adam.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it turns out until Koheles, we were lacking that.
That's
correct.
You're lacking. That's it. You can't have reality revolve around your wishes. That's it. Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to explain. Hafochba the kulaba means that Yahadus spans all the knowledge of man. That's correct. And that's absolutely correct. And that's what I'm saying. That any idea. For instance, I'll give you. I'll show you something that's interesting. But if you take a look at the Ramban, you see, where is this Ramban? Just a second. Yeah, see, the Ramban says something like this. The Ramban says, this is a good example. You know, the Ram says in the Mar Nevuchim, the Ram says an interesting thing. He says that a person could study a subject and gain tremendous insight into that subject, and the purpose of all that insight is simply to show a negation of that property vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and that's the whole purpose of his of his investigation. Amazing statement. Amazing statement. Now for instance, there's something that in our times you could see a similar kind of a thing, because with the advent of the theory of relativity, so time and space, it was shown, are simply properties of matter. And therefore, when they asked Einstein to summarize his theory in the simplest terms, he said, before my theory, people thought that if the entire universe is destroyed, there still would be time and there still would be space, you see. But his theory showed that somehow or other, the fabric of nature is such that time and space are interwoven into matter. It's all, they're properties of matter. And without matter, there would be no time, there would be no space, you see. But, of course, that is the Yesod HaDos. That's the Yesod HaDos. The Rambam says in the Mara, unequivocally, if anybody will say that time existed before the universe, he's denying Kadmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he believes in Kadmas Olam, because he's saying something else exists besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely time, you see. And our Rishonim knew this. See, the Ramban actually says it, an amazing statement. He says, the Ramban says like this, Ki afal pishes manenu borigoyim v'sho'os, even though our time is in minutes and hours, shehem ba'or u'b'choshech, that they're contingent upon day and night, light and darkness, he says, Mishayiye yesh yitofes bo zman. The moment you have matter, then zman comes into existence. It's an amazing Rambam is, but the Rambam said the same thing. The Rambam said the same thing, because he said time is an accident of an accident, because it's an accident of action. But that was the Aristotelian idea. But the truth of the matter is that the Einsteinian idea of the Einsteinian idea really showed to the physicist exactly what that means. But that kind of a knowledge was not available to man until recently. But that, so if anyone would say, you know, if anyone would say that Einstein's theory is either incorrect because we didn't have it before, or if they'll say it's correct because I found it somewhere in a remote Chazal, you see, I mean, that the either approach is incorrect, because the answer is that was not something which is a subject matter that qualifies for the metaphysical process of Nevoah. That's something like Kahelas or Schachmas Atzmo. It was given over to man. Man has the ability and he can uncover it. But nevertheless, when man does make that discovery, when he does uncover it, it will fit precisely into the Torah. Because the Torah had the same Yisod, and you see the Ramban and the Rambam, they said from the Torah itself, you could see that time must be contingent. The Lashon HaRamban is beautiful, it's perfect. Mishayiyeh yesh yitofes bo zman. The moment you have matter, that's when you have time. So the idea is there. But to say that we understood the idea, without them, it is not necessary to make recourse to Einstein's theories. I mean, that's silly. It's nonsensical. It's nonsensical. It's childish. That it's not true. Of course, we have to appreciate the chokhmah, and on the contrary, to see that now you could see clearly, more clearly than ever before, the concept that time can't exist without matter. So on the contrary, but at the same time, you see, while that was not an element of knowledge that was given over to Nevoah, you see, but nevertheless, hafochba de kulaba, it means it's there, the idea is there, and you see the Rishonim expressed it, even though they didn't know. To say that the Ramban knew relativity to me is absurdity. They didn't know, it's not possible to know. But the concept, the yesod that he had, How did he have that yisod? Because it's there. Afochbah v'afochbah dekulabah. That's what it means, afochbah v'afochbah dekulabah. Does not mean, as people simply think, that we don't have to study physics, you just opened up a medrash. That's nonsensical. No one has ever been successful in such a method, and it's just, it's ridiculous. But the knowledge of, that man unravels is extremely important. That's Sefer Kehelis. Otherwise, what's Sefer Kehelis? He was given the Sinai, he wasn't given the Sinai. But that's not true. That's not true only of Sefer Kehelis. It's true in all spheres, of knowledge. Not every piece of knowledge is wrong for Nevoah. Two different things. Two different realms. Two different realms. But simultaneously, any true discovery will always be found in Torah, because since Torah is the encompassing of all universal truths, it has to be there. It must be there, but not in the same way that people think that it's there. You understand what I mean? It is there because since it's true and it's reality, it's got to be there somewhere. So just like the example I'm giving you with regard to the theory of relativity, exact same thing. Okay. No, you're going away from what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. Maybe somebody else could express it a little more clearly. Dave, I'm sure. And it's not easy. Yeah. In other words, if you have the foundations of reality, so any discovery is going to always be subsumed under something in the Torah. It has to be there, but not in the scientific sense of a scientific discovery, you see, and not to negate the value of the scientific discovery. But nevertheless, it has to fit in there because this is the fundamentals of all reality. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, all knowledge will be footnotes will be footnoted in the Torah, so to speak. You understand what I mean? That because the kulabah, it's all, everything is there. So any piece of knowledge that you gain will always be a footnote. Will always be something where it fits in. You see. That's not the same thing as saying that it's an essential body of knowledge that was transmitted from Sinai. That's a different concept. Right. Yeah.
Would this be a correct statement also, though, that let's say man, that it wouldn't be the case that man could come up with something that would contradict a
fundamental of absolutely, 100%. That's absolutely true.
So that would be correct.
That's true also. That's true also.
So if in fact a theory was put forth
right.
that man came up with that contradicted something in the Torah, you'd have to say that it was a false theory.
That's correct. And that's really the whole, that's the Rambam and the Maravuchim really. What was the Rambam, the whole Rambam and the Maravuchim was that the Aristotelian theory of the of Kadmas HaOlam, that something coexists with God, is false. Because that's what he showed. Because through Nevuah, we know that that can't be so. You see? And the Rambam, of course, showed that Aristotle never proved such a thing, because there can't be any kind of a proof of something that's against reality, which is against the Torah, is not possible. But in spite of the fact that that many thinkers were wont to accept the theory of the Kadmas HaOlam, you see, nevertheless, he says, we know through the word that it's incorrect. And the Rambam just wanted to show people that the people shouldn't be under the illusion that Kadmas HaOlam was proven. He says that's absolutely false. And then the Rambam goes to show that our theory really is more, is something which is more readily acceptable than Aristotle's theory. And of course, centuries later was shown that through scientific knowledge that that Tadmus Olam is not true. I mean, we know today through scientific knowledge. But and that's something which was a tremendous thing. You know, the Rambam would have been very happy to have access to that knowledge. He didn't have access to that knowledge. Of course, Rambam didn't have access to the knowledge. He knew the conclusion, though. The conclusion he knew from Nivor. But he didn't have access to the knowledge. That's why I, Rambam, didn't have access to the knowledge. That we can't do anything about. That's just like, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. I mean, he gave us access to a certain amount of knowledge. We have no right to say, because we would like to have more. Sure, we'd like to have more, but that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He gave us access to invaluable knowledge. But at the same time, certain knowledge doesn't lend itself to that system. And therefore, his will is that man should be able to discover it through his own investigation. And that's a proper thing, an appropriate thing. Not only is it proper and appropriate, but it's something which really gives an individual, when he has that knowledge, then he, if a person understands, for instance, has a full knowledge of relativity, he has a greater yediyas Hashem in terms of kadmus Hashem than a person who doesn't. There's no question about it, because he could see that idea more clearly. So this is something which is of great benefit to the individual, but it's something which doesn't mean, because it's of benefit to him, it doesn't mean that it's a subject for Nevoah. It's a separate thing. That's a separate. These two things are two separate tracks. You can't ask why that is any more than you can ask why we don't understand Ma'aseh Merkava. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same kind of, we don't understand it. But we don't. We follow our Torah because it's true, not because it conforms to our wishes. I mean, that's just it. But at the same time, that's what the Rambam says, that an investigation in an area which a person, the whole, according to what the Rambam would say, is that the whole benefit of an individual's knowledge of relativity is the knowledge that he sees clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removed from Zman. He's saying that Zman does not coexist. And he's outside Zman, and you'll understand that in a deeper way, in a different way. That's the whole benefit of a whole investigation. That's what the Rambam says in the Mar. Okay.
Get ready.
Yes.
Just to go back, you know, the idea of Eretz Yisrael is the metaphysical, that gives us the right to it.
Right.
I'm actually the story, of course, that's Avram.
That's right.
That's why he was Zoch, because...
because of his own metaphysical attainment.
Designation of land.
Yeah.
That's
square, yeah.
Yeah. Is the Eretz Yisrael based on our observance of the mitzvos, not necessarily on our understanding of God?
That's what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that just the mitzvos themselves, that still wouldn't be enough to justify. The justification is that we're a metaphysical nation. We're a nation that's committed essentially to the pursuit of metaphysical knowledge, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us and brought us into that camp.
But Hashem said that we lose the land because we're not observing the mitzvot. He doesn't say we lose land because we're not studying
That's true also. You're absolutely right. The reason why we lose the land is because we don't keep the mitzvot. But you have to understand, that means because when you keep the mitzvahs and the vehicles are in place, that then this metaphysical system will always survive. That's the objective of the mitzvahs. The objective of all the mitzvahs is the Yisrael. And if you keep the mitzvahs, then it'll survive. And if you don't, then you don't deserve the land. And that's exactly why Rabbi Yitzchak's point is the reality of our existence today and then throughout all the centuries. I mean, that's correct.
It seems more than the mitzvah,
Yeah, the mitzvah we mean, it means that in the proper way. I mean, yeah, you can't just say I'll do these things, and you know, and then I'll look like that. It has to be in the proper way. In the proper way, you're right. The simcha of levav, it's a certain level of perfection of existence, not just doing a mitzvah, but the way you do the mitzvah is extremely important. And the mitzvahs lead. What's the ultimate mitzvah? Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam. I mean, and the ultimate mitzvah of Talmud Torah is there's ma'aseh merkava, ma'aseh bereishis, and that's the system. I mean, you could say. And you could say justly that we're not on the level that we understand Maisa Brachus and Maisa Merkava. That's a correct statement. But it's not a correct statement to say it's not important. That's a lie. That's not true. To say that's like the Rambam says, that people have a tendency to say that what they don't know is not important. If they don't know mathematics is not important. If they don't know physics, that's not important. So to say that these subject matters are not important is an absolute fraud. I mean, because you see that the whole Kolatar Kula builds up to Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava. That's a Masorah from Chazal that we have that's unquestionable. So those subject matters are the most important subject matters. And just because we're not on level to understand doesn't detract from their importance. And the whole existence of Klal Yisrael is really based upon that, based upon those subjects. And the Shmiras HaMitzvahs aims at that, because it aims at the Yedias Hashem. I mean, that's the ultimate expression of Migdosh and the Shem Havaya, which reflects the correct idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Rabbi, does it make sense that we're not Zochet to the land until we reach that level?
That's exactly what it says. I mean, the Gullus is all contingent upon it. All contingent upon that. Yep.
That means that the Gullus cannot occur until that metaphysical reality becomes, that metaphysical knowledge becomes reality, not just existing potential.
That's God's. I can't answer. I can't answer that question. All you could say is that as long this much you could say, that as long as the direction of the nation is not towards Yedias Hashem and towards Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Yedias Hashem, as long as the direction of the nation is not that way, that then there's no Eretz Yisrael. That's the only thing you can say for sure. Almost. That's clear. You're right. That's a good raya. That's a good raya. Because the Rambam says the Melech HaMashiach will be Chacham Gadol Yosef Mishlomo, the Navi Gadol Karv L'Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Is that the lesson? Karv L'Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean? You're right. That's exactly right. That's exactly what we're saying. That means that you mean to say that shows you that impotential is not enough. Could be. Because it means that such an individual is necessary in order to create the proper sphere of influence to affect the whole nation, and that's why he has to have the knowledge. That's correct, absolutely. Right. That's included in the yisod of Mashiach. That's included in that yisod. Because what does Ram have to mention? What he has to be? Just be somebody that brings us back to Eretz Yisrael, a political leader. No, you see, it's not true. You see that he must be an individual that has this great knowledge, and through this great knowledge, he affects the entire nation, and that's really Rabbi Yitzchak. That's really the Rabbi Yitzchak. That's exactly what Rabbi Yitzchak says. That's why you need the elaboration in Sefer Bereishis. Okay. All right, so next week, if you want to, I'll go into some of Kehelis itself.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Clean that up. Self said. I mean, the Yisod he knew. But the science is something else. The science requires the greatest genius and brilliance in mathematics and physics, and it's a whole world. It's a world of chokhmah.
You don't think that's available for the whole world? You say that's just for individuals?
Could everybody be an Einstein? I don't know. I would doubt it. I don't think everybody can. I think everybody can understand on their level some. Aspect of it.
On the level, right?
Yeah, but really to fully comprehend it, fully grasp that requires certain abilities and certain talents. Certain faculties. What?
The only handful of
people.
Understood.
Why is there just the emphasis in the yeshiva world on this type of knowledge, on secular knowledge, on physics, mathematics?
I can't explain it. I can't explain it. The only thing I would say is that the yeshiva world has historically been afraid of losing people because that, which the Rambam says is true, that a lot of times if a person gains a certain amount of knowledge, they're liable to, because they had false premises about their own religion, they're liable to throw it away. But a deeper understanding would show on the contrary. So the yeshiva world, on the whole, did not encourage that kind. Although many yechidim, for instance, in Volozhin, they studied science and everything. Known fact that Volozhin, all the sciences are studied. You know, by themselves, privately. You know? But, you know, the yeshivas are, the way the yeshivas are, work is dependent upon those who are in charge. Some people are more fearful, or afraid that a person may be a simpleton and you're going to introduce them into knowledge, maybe they'll throw away the authority, doesn't understand, you know. I mean, which is true, unfortunately. I mean, I've seen that happen too. So it's a tightrope. So, I mean, you have to know what you're dealing with also. Many issues will not let somebody go to college, okay? I happen to think they're right. Because if a person doesn't really have certain knowledge, yes, a professor could make a student an apikoros. A professor who's a kofer and who has an advantage over the student, that he has more knowledge in this area, and the student doesn't really understand the fundamentals of his religion, yes, he can make him a kofer, and I've seen it happen. So there, you see, I mean, it's not that they're completely unjustified in their approach either. But I think the correct approach is that what you should do is that courses should be given to prepare the student, show them what our Torah really says and give them an in-depth understanding, because in the long run, I don't think you're going to win by sheltering them, because I don't think it's possible anymore. I don't think in this world such a thing is possible. I think the only method today really is to give people a fundamental ideas of Yahadis. And
right. Well, the emphasis is on halacha, it's not on
that's stuff. That's the problem. That's the problem, exactly. You hit on that, that's the problem. That's the problem. But, you know, until people change, it takes time. All right. Okay, everybody, have a good day. Thank you.